Overcoming doubt. Why is it so important to overcome doubt early in the practice? Doubt is one of the five hindrances. If your mind is consumed by doubt, it will be impossible to commit yourself wholeheartedly to the practice. So overcoming doubt is very important. Purification by overcoming doubt is one of the seven purifications in the path of purification, coming after purification of view. Purification of view means changing the way you look at the world, moving from a conceptual view of reality to one based on direct experience. Purification by overcoming doubt relates to doubt about how reality works, so it is logical that it will arise only after you have a proper perspective on reality. Doubt is a quality of mind that most people deal with on a regular basis, trying to decide what to do with their lives, finding the right course of action in every situation. We doubt about our lives, about what we should do, and about the nature of the world. Much of science was created to help answer questions about the nature of our world and to help us understand reality so that we might live better lives. Religion was created for the same sort of purpose. Both religion and science try to provide us with answers to subdue our doubts, though what we call religion has often been more about belief without much basis in evidence, while science has been much more about evidence-based knowledge. Psychologically, there is quite a bit of overlap when it comes to believing something and knowing it. What is important is that you are provided with answers that quell your doubt. Science provides answers based on evidence, and so it is very good at overcoming doubt conventionally. If you rely on science, if you believe and put your faith in science, then it is very good at overcoming intellectual doubt, very good at helping one find ways to live one's life. Science cannot, however, free one from doubt completely for two reasons. First, because science does not know everything, and scientists have not found answers to all questions. And secondly, because the answers science gives are not one's own answers. Science cannot help you know the truth of your reality. If you look at depression, for example, science can help you understand the technical aspects of depression, and this understanding may help you deal with depression on a superficial level, but it cannot provide you with the direct understanding required to free you from it. Likewise, for anxiety, fear, and all other sorts of mental suffering. Science cannot tell you how to live your life or how to react to situations. It cannot bring true wisdom. This is what we commonly understand as the difference between wisdom and intelligence. Religion, on the other hand, tries to provide wisdom, making claims on topics like ethics, happiness, and the nature of reality. Most religion, however, is more about providing psychological support than actual understanding. Belief in God, for example, is best understood as a coping mechanism of sorts. People use God to reassure themselves that there is meaning to life, no matter how hard things get. From a point of view of psychology, God and most of the other concepts we associate with religion are just tools that help cope with the difficulties of life. Most of religion is like this. Buddhists around the world perform all sorts of rituals like chanting, ringing bells, bowing, and so on. Psychologically, these are useful practices that help promote positive states of mind, but none are really enough for us to completely overcome doubt. Overcoming doubt is the stage on the path where the meditator begins to actually understand not only the nature and building blocks of reality, but how it works. Specifically, how the physical and mental aspects of experience work and interact, and even more specifically, how our experiential problems come to be. One of our biggest problems is that we do not even understand our problems. When we feel anxious or depressed, we usually do not even know where it comes from. When you go to the doctor for anxiety or depression, they can explain the cause in terms of the physical state of your brain, which may be conceptually correct, but it is wrong in the sense that this sort of answer cannot free you from depression. It is the wrong answer because it is the wrong type of answer. The right type of answer is one that we see for ourselves, one in which we comprehend our disorders for what they really are. After becoming familiar with the nature of experience, the meditator begins to see how experiences work in terms of cause and effect. This is called the second of the 16 stages of knowledge. This second stage, or the knowledge that grasps conditionality, is true understanding of the law of karma. In Buddhism, karma means mental inclination, intention, or volition. At this stage, the meditator observes through direct experience that inclination leads to resultant actions, which lead to resultant effects. There is no need for belief, as the meditator sees directly that certain mind states lead to certain results, which is a crucial part of the mechanics of reality. Knowledge that grasps conditionality involves seeing how craving is a cause for suffering, which often causes some conflict as one wrestles with one's prior perceptions of the benefits of craving. Some meditators' first instinct is to think that something is wrong with their meditation because they cannot believe that craving leads to suffering. When they want things, they get them, so they see the problem as meditation preventing them from getting what they want. They often see a lot of suffering and stress in their minds at this stage as a result of their attachments. This stage of the meditation can be quite stressful as one is forced to choose between clinging to one's desires or letting them go. Both seem to be potential ways to free oneself from suffering. Your two options are get what you want or give up the wanting. Either method theoretically frees you from the wanting and suffering. Purification by overcoming doubt leads to the knowledge that the things that we cling to are not stable or predictable, not satisfying, and not controllable. These are called the three characteristics of all arisen phenomena. Seeing how phenomena interact with each other on a moment-to-moment basis leads one to realize that the problem is not the failure to acquire the objects of our desire, but the desire itself. One realizes that if one were content, one would not suffer. The things we cling to are impermanent, unsatisfying, and uncontrollable. They cannot possibly provide real satisfaction. They are impermanent, uncertain, and unstable. They are suffering in the sense that they are unsatisfying, and if one clings to them, one will suffer because they cannot last. They are not oneself. They do not belong to oneself, and they have no self of their own to cling to. They are experiences that arise and cease based on causes and conditions. The realization of the three characteristics can only come about after purification by overcoming doubt. Since one must first observe the causal relationships between phenomena before one can understand their value. Freedom from doubt means certainty afforded by direct knowledge, which provides the mind the fortitude required to attain the higher stages of knowledge and freedom from suffering. Before attaining this freedom from doubt, you might think that the meditation is causing the impermanence, suffering, and non-self characteristics that you observe in your meditative experiences. You might be inclined to stop meditating, so as to return to ordinary reality, where things are pleasant, satisfying, and controllable. This is because meditation forces you to confront the nature of reality, whereas ordinarily we are constantly avoiding it. Once you see clearly the causal relationship between experiences, you have no need to avoid or manipulate reality, as you are able to skillfully respond to any experience without reaction or partiality. The state of mind before attaining freedom from doubt is like beginning as a carpenter. Before you can build a cabinet, you have to learn about your tools. In the early stages, you are still learning how reality works. Once you do that and the doubt disappears, your mind becomes pliant and wieldy like a tool in the hands of a skilled carpenter. Such a mind is a tool you can apply towards overcoming suffering. That is why it is important to overcome doubt.